special tournament edition of Derailed as we roll on. We are currently recording day two of the first round of the tournament. That would be a Friday. And as we, Harry Mays, myself, constituting we, at Shander Show and Harry Mays TU, recording this game, both of us are watching the UC Irvine-Kansas State game live unfold as we record another edition of Derailed, both having money, big money, on UC Irvine.
Yes, big money, big radio money, right. Big podcast money this is at stake.
Harry, this might be, and I know you're going to tell us all where we are and all the great things that are happening here, but before that, this might be the first time in you and my history of doing stuff together, online or in radio,
right,
in which we will be doing not only live, almost play-by-play, so much as reacting. This is like us watching a season of Ozark. And every time we do the podcast, Ozark's on in the background, and we're reacting to a scene or something.
Or
like
Game of Thrones or something like that. Yeah. But that's what's cool, though. We got the private televisions here at the Valley Forge Race and Sportsbook, which is formerly the Oaks Turf Club. Okay, not to be confused with anything else named Valley Forge.
Correct.
Okay.
This is it,
and we are presented by Parks Casino, which is Pennsylvania's number one casino, and the Greenwood Racing, and their sports books are at Parks Casino in Bensalem. They got the South Philly Race and Sports Book, which is right on Packer Avenue, which is right by the stadium complex, and of course where we are today, the Valley Forge Race and Sports Book, which is right off Route 422 in Oaks, PA, the three locations for sports betting in Pennsylvania, and you can cash your tickets, Eitan, your winning tickets,
right,
at any of the three locations. Get your cash in your hand immediately, parkscasino.com.
I love it, and that's the beauty of it, is that we are here right now at the Valley Forge Race and Sportsbook, but we can go downtown to the Turf Club, we can go to Parks, we'll be out there in Parks in the Northeast a week from... Actually, this coming Thursday. So anywhere you go, I have a couple of tickets in my pocket. You have a couple of tickets in your pocket. So wherever we may be, there's a game that we have tonight that we may not be here for later on tonight. So
right, Utah State and Washington, where we have investment.
At Parks in the Northeast, it's amazing, man, how that whole thing works.
Yeah, but what a day yesterday was. I know you and I, that's what's so fun about being in a book during the games.
Yes.
Like, you know, and it used to be that you had to fly to Vegas to get this experience, right? And I know that's a different experience all unto itself. But now, you just sitting around here, taking it in, like you come in here for lunch, right, on a day of the tournament. And when there's a game coming down to crunch time, guys will gather around, you know, a couple of the TVs. They've all got the same side, and they're all, like, living and dying with every jump shot. Oh, he missed the front end of the 1-1. Do you believe it? It's so fun to see the reaction. You know, as it's happening, it's really cool. But yesterday was a hell of a day. 11 of the underdogs covered or won outright. 11-5-1 it went.
Right, and a couple of those underdogs, though, are not real. Like, if you look at the gambling element of it, it was an amazing day because, mm-hmm, as you mentioned, the 11 dogs that either covered or won outright. But when you look at the bracket element of it,
right,
there is no Murray State, maybe, but I think they die. I think a lot of us believe they die against Florida State.
I don't know about that.
John Morant is a special talent.
He is. He is.
I don't think he's beating four or five special talents of Florida State.
No, I know, but that line is like a 4.5-5 point line. I know them. You know, the whole America is going to be rooting for Murray State in that game. If they have any kind of juice in that game late, the crowd, whatever the neutral crowd is on site, will all of a sudden be Murray State fans. And we've seen that tilt games, man. It's almost like they're playing a home game.
Right.
It's kind of bizarre.
And I think that Murray State, what is it, plus? They're plus +5, you said?
Yes.
I think they cover that basketball game. And I think that's the satisfaction of the nation, which is, hey, they went up again. And I wouldn't be shocked if Florida State went on a run. But my point of it is that when you just look at the 11 and that number of dogs that cover outright, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But a couple of those dogs, if you will, are not Cinderellas. They were just underdogs.
No, I know.
Florida and Minnesota are not Cinderella teams. They're just teams in respective power conferences that really struggled and were up and down this year and had some bad moments, and that's why they're at the 10 spot.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I think this tournament is unique, Harry, is that it's not, hey, 11 dogs covered and we've got 10 different Cinderella stories to look at. There really is only Murray State after day one that's a Cinderella.
Well, Wofford, too. Now, Wofford was a favorite. Wofford was a favorite yesterday. But they're going up against Kentucky now, where they're going to be an underdog. That's going to be a great game. And Kentucky's without P.J. Washington, right, most likely. He's still got a cast, a hard cast on his foot. So I doubt he plays. That's a big deal.
I've got
the numbers.
Right, so here's the thing. They bring in this kid, Fletcher McGee.
5.5.
Who's the all-time leader.
Yeah, the three-point guy.
I think Wofford
for Wofford. They absolutely could. But my point is they're an underdog. But they're a live dog.
I don't call that a Cinderella, right? Isn't there a difference between Murray State beating Florida State? Now you're talking about a 13 seed.
Yes. Right now they are the Cinderella because they're the higher-seeded team. Or 12 seed. It was a 5-12 game. They are 12. As this tournament goes, if Wofford becomes the highest seeded team, plus it's just a small school that nobody knows where it is. Like, people don't know what Wofford. What is this? Like, chicken and waffles? Like, what is this? No, Wofford.
I talked to the play-by-play guy, right, on my national show
last night. On the SB Nation show? What's his name?
Jim Noble.
Noble, okay.
Right. Saying that they've been to the tournament four times.
Not Brandon Noble.
No, not Brandon
okay.
Noble, who we love.
I know.
Right? Former Penn State football player.
Yes.
We love Brandon.
Yes.
It wasn't him in the sense of Jim saying that it was a bad thing, but I made a joke saying, hey, look, you guys have 1,600 kids. You make it to the tournament, you're a 7 seed, and they turn around and smack you in the face and send you to all places to Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
You're better off going to Des Moines, Iowa. There's probably more going on there than there is in Jacksonville.
Yeah, but it's close to South Carolina because the fan base traveled.
It's 80 miles
away. Right.
3 of the 4 times they've made the tournament, these poor sons of bitches have been sent to Jacksonville.
Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, they haven't seen anything.
Well, okay, but they beat Kentucky. Then they're going to the regional place. And who cares? As long as they win,
I don't think that it's a difference maker of whether or not they'll beat Kentucky. If anything, it might help them.
I think it will help them. Well, and plus more of their fans can come in because as those teams lose, the fans of those teams that lose and are out sell their tickets. More Wofford fans can come down to Jacksonville and make that because Big Blue travels anywhere.
Well,
like Kentucky people will go to Alaska to watch Kentucky.
It's gonna be a home game, Wofford, Kentucky.
No, but I'm saying I think Wofford will be nicely represented because they're so close.
But I think that it might be loud enough in what you'll hear. If that game, to your point about Murray State and Florida State, if it's a two minutes left in the second half, and we're talking about a 3 or 4 point game,
mm-hmm,
everybody on their feet
is
going to be rooting for Wofford. Everybody. I mean, you're going to have Kentucky people there.
Trying
to be loud.
Oh, yeah.
But as far as neutral and as far as people that
they'll all want Wofford. Yeah, absolutely.
Now and is that a simple, real quick, I don't know if I can consider, I can't consider Wofford a Cinderella story at a 7 seed.
Well, I mean, against blue blood schools like Kentucky, Kansas, North Carolina, Duke, they're a Cinderella. And the further they go in this tournament, they're going to be matched up against teams. Against Virginia, they're a Cinderella story.
Well, don't you need to be a double-digit seed? I feel like, okay,
they're from the Southern Conference.
All right. SoCon.
I understand. For God's sake.
And I think I'll meet you halfway. I'll try to meet you halfway. If you take away that number next to them, if you just take away that 7, they're a Cinderella story.
Yes.
But the fact that the tournament made them a 7 seed, mm-hmm, is very difficult for me to get around because even they are acknowledging all of the criteria that surrounds Wofford, mm-hmm, being Cinderella.
Right.
The reality is that they're still good.
Oh, they're real good.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that might put them out. It's like Manu Ginobili or Lou Williams. Yeah, they're 6 men, but they're better than 40% of the starters in the NBA.
Yeah, they're real good. I mean, Fletcher McGee, you talked about Nathan Hoover is the other guy that can hit a bunch of threes. And
he is the all-time leader.
Yes, he is. He set that last night.
Is he going to China like Jimmer Fredette?
Is he still over there playing?
He signed with the Suns.
Did he? Oh, really?
Yeah.
Get out of here. But this P.J. Washington injury is a big deal, man. This guy, he averages almost 15 points a game,
right,
7.5 rebounds, and he's even a pretty good passer from the front court. It averages about 2 assists a game. So that's a big loss. Now, granted, you'll say, oh, well, Kentucky will just pull another 5-star recruit off the bench and play significant minutes. Yeah, that's true. But it's not P.J. Washington. He's their best player.
Yeah, and that's going to be a big thing on this game. That's why Wofford doesn't fear anybody.
No, they don't. Neither does Murray State. They've got swagger. That team plays with swagger.
I just think the gap is wider between Murray State and Florida State than it is Wofford and Kentucky PJ.
But the ball will be in the hands of the best player on that basketball court, and he plays for Murray State, and he's going to have the ball in his hands a significant period of time. Who does he remind you of most? We talked a little bit about this off mic yesterday, but who's the guy that you, when you see Ja Morant, who is he to you?
I think that he's not quite as fast, but he reminds me of what De'Aaron Fox is now without being that. Like, I don't know if anybody's as fast as De'Aaron Fox, but he reminds me of De'Aaron Fox, John Wall.
Yes.
Those are the two names.
It's interesting you brought up Wall, because De'Aaron Fox is another good name.
Right. I mean, John Morant's fast.
Yeah, he is.
We're talking about a kid in De'Aaron Fox who might be, like, world class.
Yeah. I'm thinking Westbrook with a jump shot.
I like that.
You know, but I've heard Wall. Yeah. I've heard Westbrook. I've heard now De'Aaron Fox. But
you see how Fox is now. Like, the one thing I'll compare that De'Aaron Fox is doing in the NBA this year that Ja Morant already is doing now in college, and it took De'Aaron Fox a year to kind of do it, and this is why Sacramento had that big blast, that big surge, is knowing when to use his speed.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just going up and down 1,000 miles per hour.
Right, it's not an AAU game.
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
Right.
And
yeah.
Controlling the tempo. And I think Simmons, just to digress for a minute, I think Simmons is still kind of getting his feet under that, knowing that he can go 1,000 miles per hour, but there's also wisdom in slowing it down. So Ja Morant can control this game. I definitely have no doubt about that. But Florida State, man, we're talking about guys that, I mean, that's like a practice squad in an NBA team.
It is.
Those guys are big and tall, and if they're knocking down shots, I don't know if many teams in the country that can beat them.
Yeah, they are long, and, you know, I know nobody cares about everybody's bracket, but I have Florida State going a couple of rounds in this tournament in a bracket, as I do Auburn, and both yesterday on both cases, I was sweating it because both teams were almost eliminated.
Now, I need you to bring this up with you.
What's that?
And as we are here live at the Valley Forge Race and
Sportsbook,
right? Formerly the Turf Club here, but we're out at Oaks, PA, hanging out, and you should be, and a lot of people here.
There are. I know half of them.
That's amazing that so many people have come out to say hello to you.
Yeah.
It's the banners.
I think it's the banners that we have. I agree. And it's also the fact that there's booze and gambling available. I think that has something to do with it.
The bar is full right now.
Yeah.
It's an open area where tons of people are sitting down as the games roll on. So this is what I was going to bring up. I'm going to show you the visual here, right?
All right.
So I have two brackets.
Right, you got your phone up here, and it says Eitan Shander and Eitan Shander 2,
correct.
And then there's a Duke logo and a Michigan logo.
Okay, so I filled out the Duke logo.
Okay.
This is the Gill 97.3 bracket.
Oh, this is the Clearwater crew.
Right.
That's what it says,
so
yeah.
I put 25 in, and, you know, did Duke, and then I put another 25 in just to see what would happen.
Yeah.
So I went and filled out my own, and that's Duke winning it all. And then I had the option for the computer. You know when you go buy lotto tickets, you have the option for the computer to
You can just have it pick the numbers for you, right.
So, but there are different criteria.
Autofill, I think they call
it.
Yeah.
But on this autofill, there are different pieces of criteria you can use. You can use favorites. You can use heavy underdogs. You can use different things. So what I did was historical probabilities. So it took all the 7-10s, the 5-12s, and all the historical probabilities of upsets or who wins.
Right.
As it stands right now, I am second.
Second.
And 26th.
Who's in first?
Okay, well, first is...
Now, which poll is in... Which pool is in second?
So you tell me...
That's the ones that you picked, I bet. No. The historical probability pool bracket is in second place.
3 points off the lead as we speak right now with Kansas State holding a 5-point lead over UC Irvine.
Yeah.
And my bracket that I picked with Duke winning it all is 26th.
Wow.
Yeah. So there you go.
Okay. Well, see, I abstained from that pool, from that bracket pool.
You had no part of it.
I had no part of it because we were not invited to a station event the other night. At a Sixers game, I saw some photos on social media of guys having Gil and the whole crew having a great time at a Sixers game. And I don't know if you got an email or a text, but I didn't get anything. I checked all my emails. I got nothing.
No, Gil tried to tell me. He told me 2 weeks before the event, and then nobody nobody said anything to me. Nobody mm-hmm. reminded me.
They expect you to remember something 2 weeks out. Yeah.
You tell me something I don't remember.
20 minutes, exactly.
Meanwhile, he's sitting there telling Jeff Mosher about the event, and I guess it slipped his mind to remind me.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's that. All right, before we get into more of the matchups today and some of the ones on Saturday that have already been determined, yesterday it started out with Minnesota, okay, who's a team that I think stinks, okay? Richard Pitino against Louisville, and they were trying to make this big deal that there was a controversial pairing because Richard Pitino's father used to coach at Louisville. Yeah, this is about as controversial as you know, some of the shows on sports radio in Philadelphia right now. Zero. Okay, there's zero controversy. But Dana Jacobson is trying to tell me that there was a lot of raised eyebrows when the selection committee put Minnesota against Louisville. That is all media-created nonsense, in my view. But Minnesota wins the game outright. They're a team that can't shoot threes to save their life. They hit 11 threes yesterday, a total anomaly, and they beat Louisville. Yale. I don't know.
I
just maybe stepping up and having a game of their life. I don't know.
Do you think Richard Pitino said something to his kids? Let's do this one for the old pop.
Yeah.
I think
Rick's in Greece right now.
He is.
Yeah.
Did you hear the comments that Richard Pitino made trying to say as far as if he talked to his dad about
no.
his game? He said, yeah, I talked to him once. It's really tough to get a hold of people over in Greece.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Because of how hard it is.
Right, right.
Now, I think St. Joe should go after Rick Pitino.
That would be great. Jameer Nelson, I heard, is the number one candidate.
Well, that's because he's, and this is not a knock on Jameer, but that's because Jameer is in-house and is not a big name in the coaching world. But if you want to establish something, like you had Aaron McKee in-house.
Right.
So Temple did it the right way, which is, okay, they knew they had to move on from Fran Dunphy.
Mm-hmm.
They've identified somebody that they felt was a coaching candidate in-house, grooming that person.
And he'd also been in the NBA as a coach, as an assistant
correct.
Coach.
That's huge.
Yeah.
The NBA as an assistant. So if you're going to move on from Phil Martelli and do it in that nature, that fashion, then you have to take a risk.
Right.
And I think St. Joe's makes a call to Greece, as difficult as it may be to get in touch with people over there in Greece, Harry.
Yeah.
And says, hey, we're going to give you the keys to this castle.
Uh-huh.
Rick Pitino comes in here, flips that Denny's, or whatever the hell that is now up on St. Joe's.
And makes it an Italian restaurant.
And
he hangs in there in the white suit
exactly.
and holds court
exactly.
in the back table.
Now, can you see him at what?
And then takes a woman into the restroom and has his way with her.
Sure.
Yeah.
He even has a special restroom.
Yes.
Can you see him rocking that Kentucky?
Oh, I love that. I love that. The Colonel Sanders suit?
Yeah.
I love the Colonel Sanders suit. So at the Hagen Arena. At the Hagen Arena. Oh, that would be beautiful.
This could be.
I suggested the same thing before Temple made the move on Dunphy. I said, let's go get Rick Pitino. I'd love to see Colonel Sanders on Broad Street.
Right.
Now, the thing is, though, Jameer Nelson, with no coaching experience, is going to have to make his biggest hire as his first assistant. Has to be a hard scrabble guy that has experience. And he's never recruited either before. So that's a huge risk.
That's what I mean. You know, to do that, and you're really going to set yourself back. It doesn't mean that Jameer can't succeed.
No.
Kevin Ollie did it. But again, Kevin Ollie had some – I think he was an assistant, right?
I think he was. Yeah.
NBA.
Yes.
So
I believe he was.
Have some sort of bench experience. It's no knock on Jameer.
No.
It's going to be really difficult for them.
And then yesterday, I don't know if you had action on this, Yale plus 7. I know you liked Yale.
Yeah, I took them in my bracket. I did not have action in them. That's probably why I'm screwed over in this thing.
They got a late three-pointer for the backdoor cover as the underdog, getting 7 against LSU. No, he's not one of their typical three-point shooters. Their big player, the guy that's going to play in the NBA, was awful yesterday.
Right.
But this guy hits a big shot. I forget what his name was, and they got the backdoor. New Mexico State, they had Auburn on the ropes. Did you see any of that game?
I did. That was an embarrassment that Auburn was able to survive. But watch.
Yeah.
No, this is, and meanwhile,
up two, they fouled a three-point shooter. Remember that? He goes to the line, and he misses two. He misses
right.
two of three,
right.
but then they get the ball out of bounds because they deflected off the Auburn player. They get an open look on the inbounds play, a great look from the corner, and the kid missed it. So that was an unbelievable finish. Yeah, I think it was.
Now, here's the thing. A lot of people are going to say, oh, Auburn, they almost got cooked. They're going to get roasted next week.
No, sometimes that helps you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times we see this, in which I would not even – flinch taking Auburn on Saturday.
I agree with you, and especially since they were very euphoric just a few days earlier winning the SEC title against Tennessee, you kind of expected maybe a little letdown as a heavy favorite. Now that game might have slapped them, you know, in the face and woke them up a little bit.
Right.
You know what I mean? I agree with you. Yeah. All right, Eitan, I got to tell you, we're kind of midway through on this edition of Derailed.
A very special tournament, day two of the opening round edition.
Bet with the best for the college basketball tournament. It's a great time to pick winners and get your cash in hand at one of Greenwood Racing's three Delaware Valley sportsbooks. The sportsbook at Parks Casino in Bensalem, where we'll be next week. Great place, a great spot, and it's close to everything, easy to get to. And also the South Philadelphia Race and Sportsbook, which is right in the shadow of the stadium complex on Packer Avenue. Again, easy in, easy out. And where we are today, the Valley Forge Race and Sportsbook, which is right off Route 422 in Oaks, PA. They have it all when it comes to sports betting. The spreads, parlays, teasers, prop bets. Bet on all the leagues and cash your tickets across all three locations. They got outstanding and knowledgeable customer service at the sports books. Get to the books, lay your action, and collect your cash right away. Parks Casino is the number one casino in Pennsylvania and also has over 115 live table games, Eitan, and 3,600 state-of-the-art slots, an all-season beer garden, which is beautiful. We've been in there. I can't wait to hang in there once it gets nicer outside. Five restaurants and world-class entertainment at the beautiful Excite Center. On Twitter, check them out, at Parks Sportsbook right now.
Amazing. And again, remind everybody, the beauty of it is everything is interconnected. So if you place a bet in Oaks and you find yourself in the Northeast, or you place a bet
at the game, you're down at the game, you place the bet there and it's too late, you know, you're like, I gotta go home, I gotta drive all the way back to Pottstown.
Yep.
Well, guess what, you can stop here and get it,
and it's always going to be available. That service is amazing. So let's just update people where we sit right now. Both of us are on the verge of losing some money here.
Well, we got tons of time left.
Well, I need something to happen.
Yeah, UC Irvine. We jumped on the Anteaters.
I can't even believe this.
That's their name.
What are you doing here? I put money down on UC Irvine.
UC Irvine.
They're killing me. They had it close for a minute.
Do you even know where that is?
Yeah, it's Cal Irvine.
Yeah, very good. All right, just was making sure.
What do you mean, do I even know where it is? It's in Irvine.
Yes, Irvine, California. Correct, yes.
I thought that you were going to give me, like, some street or something.
No.
Yeah,
what am I, Google Maps?
Yeah,
last night, well, go.
Video?
Which, I hate viral videos.
So do I, but this one is actually pretty funny.
What is it?
Somebody was, I guess, checking Google Maps and was cruising down and scrolling around on a video.
Yeah.
Caught somebody on a freeze frame about to slip, walking into his apartment. So you could see the guy with his foot slipping, like, out, almost completely horizontal, and he's about to fall off a step, and it was like, I caught this guy just slipping off of.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
So in other words, when they went, I don't even know how they do that, but when they went in there and did the, like, that's recorded. That's not live, right?
It's not live. It's on a delay, right? So I think it's like it's probably like it could be hours ago or maybe like a week ago, depending on how much it's up to you.
Yeah. Oh, that's crazy. Right. That is nuts. Last night, I had a big loser. You know, yesterday I was talking about Seton Hall.
Yeah.
In fact, I did my column in the Metro, Philly Metro, about Seton Hall plus three.
That
game, well, it wasn't really a bad beat because with 4 minutes and 33 seconds left, Seton Hall is down one, 67-66,
yeah.
Right?
Well, Miles Powell finally shows up and explodes.
Well, he exploded. He had a lot of points, but you talk about your efficiency. He shot like 29 shots to make 25 points or whatever it was.
But they kept getting opportunities.
He did. But he was the only guy that showed up offensively for Seton Hall. I mean, he was basically on his own there. But with 67-66, Wofford, late in that game, they allow Wofford to go on a 17-2 run to close out the game. Loser.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
They just completely wilted.
Yeah.
And you saw that. I was watching that live because I was getting ready for my show, and I was just amazed. And so the funny thing about it was we were trying to get that guy Noble on. And
the play-by-play guy for Wofford, yeah.
So I told my producer, when it looked like it got close, I said, hey, listen, just hold off.
because of Seton Hall during that run.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, listen, if Seton Hall wins this game, we don't want
to. Yeah, right. He's not going to want to come on.
Exactly right. So let's just hold off a second. And then I remember, like, 3 minutes later in real time texting about that.
Yeah.
Dot.
Yeah.
Just because of what they did. Now,
yeah, Powell, 27 points on 25 shots.
It was too
so,
much.
Yeah.
But the other kid, not McGee, but
Hoover.
That kid really was able to knock down some clutch threes.
They combined for 11 threes,
and
those two guys.
In all the game. But McGee was on fire.
Yeah. I think he had seven threes. Yeah.
I think it was 7 for 11.
And yeah.
That's the thing is that Wofford, see, people are going to look at me crazy when I say this because they're not as talented as Duke or UNC or Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
But Wofford has this Golden State type ability where they've got three. There's another kid on there.
Yeah.
I forget his name. But they've got three kids, not McGee or Hoover.
No.
Another one in the back row. I think it's the point guard.
Is it Cameron Jackson?
No,
he's a forward.
He's a big guy.
He's
yeah.
a forward.
That's the point guard.
Okay.
So they've got three guys that can get hot and knock down threes and cut a lead or extend a lead in a matter of seconds. Like we see that with the
Jackson can shoot too, though. The forward, he's a pretty good shooter.
I'm saying, like, yeah. As far as their backcourt and that point guard is concerned, that's dangerous, man. Kentucky gets complacent.
Yeah.
You have, like,
without PJ Washington,
stretch, right?
Boom.
All of a sudden, you see Wofford start to stretch a lead, and it's really difficult to get up on them too, because 3 minutes, and all of a sudden they've cut that lead down or even taken it.
And the other darling that the public loved, they beat Temple the other night in a play-in game. Belmont, the Bruins. Almost took out Maryland. They had that awful turnover late with the possession. He's trying to throw the ball into a guy cutting into the lane, and the Maryland player was cut right in front of him. Just an awful pass. No, and they lose to Maryland 79-77, getting 3.5, so they covered. The other crazy one what we were watching here yesterday that had a lot of people pumped up was Bradley.
Yes.
When Bradley had the lead on Michigan State for basically the entire first half and into the second half, every basket they'd make, people were just erupting, you know, in with cheers. They end up losing the game but covering. They lost by, 11, getting 17.5. But the interesting thing that happened in that game was Tom Izzo. Izzo went after his freshman forward, Aaron Henry, number 11, and I guess he thought he was loafing up and down the court.
What happened is they extend. So Bradley, you just laid it out. Bradley was like not going away,
mm-hmm.
and Michigan State was making mistakes. And
you could see Izzo. He looked like Larry Boa in the dugout when he coached the Phillies. You know, like he's just wearing every pitch on his sleeve, and it's eating him up inside. Yes, yes, yes. And I love Larry Boa. He's one of my favorite guys.
Yeah. You and Jason, I felt like talked to him a lot.
Oh yeah.
So now what happens is they extend the lead, and Michigan State's up 10, and Henry is getting a little complacent.
Mm-hmm.
And Tom Izzo recognized that right away and got in his ass.
Oh, dude.
But he wasn't, like, slapping him.
No, he didn't touch him. He didn't touch him.
Bobby Knight type stuff.
But he had the red face, and he looked like Tom Coughlin,
right,
with the punter that time against the Eagles. And he's I think that might have been who it was. And he's pointing at the kid, right? And he got a little close to him, so close that one of the teammates had to come in and kind of push him back, right? So then they're sitting down in the huddle, in the little circle on the court. And Izzo's staring. He's right in front of Henry, and he's pointing at him. And Henry must have said, "My bad," is the word I got. He was like, basically, "My bad, coach." And that incensed him. He just like, "Bruh!" No, I didn't. I didn't hear it.
He's like, "My bads are done." He's like, that stuff is done right now.
Like, yeah.
We're done with the my bads. And
mm-hmm.
He specifically referenced that in the post-game press conference.
Right.
Like, I'm not apologizing for anything.
No, and I don't blame him. I wouldn't apologize either.
He didn't do anything wrong.
Oh, no, he didn't.
And if anything, let's be honest. As we go to a commercial break on the game, not on the podcast, you see Orvine has cut that sucker back.
I told you. You got to relax.
Right,
I do this for a living. Right. Just calm down. But
here's what I'd say. Sorry, I'll let you
go ahead.
On Izzo. But for me, the only line that I looked across is was he physically abusing him?
Right. No, he was not.
Therefore, Tom Izzo knows Henry. Tom Izzo knows Henry and knows how to motivate him. He knows when Henry is loafing.
Mm-hmm.
He knows when Henry's giving it at all. And you know what happened? As soon as he got in that guy's, in that little
kid, he picked it up.
He hit three buckets,
mm-hmm.
and he had like two rebounds and a stop.
And Michigan State came on and won the game. So, yeah, I thought it was, you know, totally fine. I know, you know, social media blew up, and he's, you know, everybody's comparing him, you know, to Bob Knight, and he, you can't yell at a freshman like that. Oh, he's a poor freshman. Here's the deal. When that kid comes there as a freshman in the fall, and he's making mistakes in practice or in a game, that might be the my bad coach. This is now March. He's no longer a freshman. He's basically a sophomore now. And now it's like that's what Izzo was probably referencing. Like, you know, October, November, I can take my bad. This is March. We're no longer at my bad. I thought it was great. It's called coaching. Sometimes that happens. You know what I'm saying? But in this day and age, you can't yell at anybody. You know, God forbid you get in a kid's face where you're not exactly happy with him and you show displeasure. Ooh, he's bullying him. I can't stand that mentality.
I'm going to play it for you. All right. My mic here too.
Oh, was it? What, is this Izzo?
Yeah, it's
all right.
Izzo, but you're going to have to.
All right.
What we're doing here, we're sitting at the table.
No, that's okay. Just play.
I want you to tell everybody where we are as well.
We're at the Valley Forge Race and Sports Book. We're in actually a private area over here. My bads are out the window.
Has that team played better, or that guy played better? If it's my bad because I decided to jog back instead of sprint back, then it is your bad, and you're going to hear about it.
I love that. I love that. Yep. That's called holding a kid accountable. And there's nothing wrong with that. All right. Now, I put a Twitter poll up. I know you were a big Twitter poll guy. I know you do, but I put up one just a couple of days ago because it was, you know, March Madness time, and I was just curious to see, you know, what the people would think, because this is the first March Madness that we've been able to legally bet on sports here in the state of Pennsylvania, right? So it's kind of a landmark time. This past Super Bowl was the first Super Bowl. We were at Parks in Bensalem for the Super Bowl, and that was the first Super Bowl that you could legally place a bet on. It's pretty cool.
Yes.
So with that said, I said, given the opportunity, will you place a legal wager on any of the games this year? I had three options. Yes, I can't wait to wager. No, bracket pools only for me. Or C, was not interested either way. Take a guess as to the percentage of the vote for that, the category of yes, I can't wait to wager.
85%.
No. 43%.
How many people?
Almost 700.
Okay, that's a good sample.
Okay.
Really?
43%. 33% say no, bracket pools only. See, now, and then 24%, I'm not interested either way. The way I look at this is I think we'll be able to take this poll again in another year or two, and I think the numbers will be significantly different because this is still so new to everybody. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
they might not know, you know, they know Shander and Harry are over at the Valley Forge Race and Sports Book, but they don't really, you know, they're not well-versed enough in it yet. I think there's going to be a little bit of a ramp-up of education for the gambler, and I think those numbers will be significantly different
come
football season.
I think so. I think when you look at anything when it first began, like, go back to fantasy football.
Right. Not everybody was doing that.
No.
It was like rotisserie baseball was really the first thing for that, right?
Yes.
And that was only the real nerdy digit,
correct.
You know, digit
Absolutely.
Guys where you're really, you know, in
yeah,
depth on notes.
And,
yeah,
right.
Right.
No, it's much different. And I think now you're going to see, as you said, this much larger expansion into the education part. That's really what's missing, I think, for the most part of it. And I don't know if they need it because casinos and books might look at it and think, hey, we're just allowing people who are normally doing this illegally to do it legally,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to spending money and marketing and educating people who have never gambled before.
Right.
That's the biggest intersection that I'm interested
that's
in.
That's a big opportunity for these places, yeah.
But you might look at it and say, hey, you know, we only have X amount of dollars to spend. Are we going to out-inform the person who was illegally gambling for 20 years to now know they have are we going to out-educate the other place or whatever other places in trying to bring in new people?
Yeah, it's interesting.
And I don't know
the answer to that, but I guess it would probably change, you know, with each and every different book. But did you see some of the pregame, postgame halftime stuff last night with Charles Barkley?
Yeah, Barkley, I don't know what's going on here, but I think that I have moved past my Charles Barkley phase.
I think he's the least informed that he's ever been when it comes to college basketball in this tournament than all the other years.
Yeah,
he said something crazy last night.
Okay, I heard him say John Beilein's an underrated is the most underrated coach in college basketball.
Really? I didn't hear that, but that's...
Yeah, and Kenny Smith immediately jumped on him
yeah.
and said, who are you hanging out with?
Yeah. I'd like to know. Yeah. I'd like to hang out with him.
Well, I don't even know at this point if I would.
But he said, nobody is more talented in this tournament than LSU.
That's not a bad song.
LSU.
Yeah, LSU.
I mean, we're not talking about the most talented team in the state of Louisiana. We're not talking about the most talented team in the SEC. He said the nation. I'm like, what?
How?
Have you watched Zion Williamson and R.J. Barrett and Cam Reddish? I mean, do you know those names, Chuck?
I don't think he's
Jesus,
I mean,
Jack.
North Carolina
is loaded.
Exactly. They've been playing the best basketball over the last month and a half anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's been a better team than UNC. Does he not watch the ACC?
I'm not sure, but that was something that...
Is he so stuck on Auburn basketball?
Well, maybe. Well, see, then he should know more about the SEC. You know, there's more teams. Tennessee's pretty talented. Kentucky's talented. You know, there's just in that league alone. So
he probably looks at Tennessee like Auburn beat them. Mm. Therefore, Auburn's better. Even though Tennessee came off that big, huge win over Kentucky.
Yeah.
And then was just like, all right, get us out of this tournament.
All right, now Villanova won yesterday. They were another one of the favorites that didn't cover. They were like a 5.5-point favorite. They were 5.5-point favorite and won by 4. So they didn't cover the number against St. Mary's.
But St. Mary's wasn't going away. They were not
no.
And it was a tough block game for Villanova.
It was. Now they got Purdue. And Purdue's a 4-point favorite against Villanova.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
I know you don't like Purdue.
No, but I'll say this. Purdue shot better than I thought they would.
Mm-hmm.
And they're actually a better shooting
They
game.
Pushed Purdue. It was Old Dominion. It was a 13-point line. They won by 13.
I can't believe that they pushed that line.
Yeah. A lot of people liked Old Dominion in that game because they're down on Purdue. But Purdue's favorite against Villanova. Villanova's going to need a lot more from Pascal and Samuels if they're going to have there's some of their
they
big guys. No, they can't. He had 20 yesterday. But they're going to need 20 from Booth, but they're going to need more from those two other guys.
Yeah, I don't know. It's crazy.
Great coaching job by Jay Wright just to get to this far and to win the Big East, to win the Big East tournament. You know, you win the regular season and the tournament, and then, you know, you come in here and win your first-round game. I mean, if they go out against Purdue, that's still a great season for losing all that they lost to the NBA.
I think that would be the biggest accomplishment is that they got out of the first round.
Yeah.
And granted, 6 seed, okay, it's not super high.
Right.
It's not like a major accomplishment of – Tied.
Irvine, 30. Kansas State, 30. Kansas State is without their best player, Wade, who is out, I believe, with a foot injury, right?
You'd like to think that this low-scoring affair would favor...
Yeah, Dean Wade.
Not Dwayne Wade. No.
No.
Not Dean from Mount Airy. Right?
Yeah, love that guy. One of the other interesting games... this weekend.
Well, what about today? Because there were a couple of blowouts. Well, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. You want to go through today?
No, go ahead.
Well, I'm just interested now. We were talking about Michigan State a few minutes ago and Tom Izzo. They got a Big Ten matchup now. Minnesota against Michigan State. Michigan State's a 10-point favorite, and they buried them. They played them once during the regular season. It was at Michigan State. They crushed them by 24 points as a 13.5-point favorite. I'm liking Sparty. I think Tom Izzo... You talk about him getting into his freshman's face, Aaron Henry. I think he's going to crawl up all their rear ends between now and the tip of that game.
I agree.
You like that,
Sparty? I do like that.
All right.
Let me ask you this. Do you have a major upset still remaining today?
I took Liberty.
Liberty
over Mississippi State.
That's not a bad pick.
Yeah, I took that.
I did too, look.
You did? Okay. Yeah, you get... You got your online bracket pool.
Right now, just to see, there isn't really another big risk that I took. I see a lot of lower numbers. I have Iowa State.
I'm really
Houston losing to Iowa State.
Do you?
Yeah.
I have Houston.
Oh, no, Houston beating Ohio State.
I have Houston beating Kentucky.
Oh, wait. This is the
and losing
bracket.
To UNC.
Let's look at my bracket.
All right. Well, while you're looking that up, I'll tell you a matchup that I really want to see happen. I need UCF to beat VCU today because I want to see Duke against UCF and see Zion Williamson drive the lane with a thunder slam in mind on that 7'6" kid taco fall. And I want to see that collision. He is 7'6".
Do you think he goes high in the draft?
No, I don't think so.
Lottery pick?
No. Maybe.
When did Boban Marjanovic go?
I think he was a second rounder, wasn't he?
That guy's ears. He's
got the cauliflower ear,
yeah,
doesn't he?
Somebody needed to give him one of those wrestling helmets as a kid.
Yeah, I know.
I can't even look at him anymore. I love him, but I can't look at him. Well, I don't know what to do.
He's always got his mouth open. He's always laughing or smiling. You know, the guy's got a great disposition, though. You know what I mean? He has fun everywhere he goes.
Well, you have to be when you're that big. If you walk around with
Well, true. Yeah, it makes him even more intimidating. He was undrafted.
Oh, okay.
He was undrafted. Yeah.
Boban Marjanovic.
Boban, love that guy.
Now we got a taco fall.
Right.
I think you're going to see that.
And I saw his whole career. I mean, I remember he was a freshman. He got on to that team. He couldn't walk and chew gum at the same time. He's really improved. He's really improved.
If he played under Jim Calhoun, he'd be second pick overall.
He'd be a Hashim Thabeet who went like second or third in the draft a few years ago. Exactly, but he got a nice check.
He did. He did. All right.
Yeah.
One more time.
Yeah. But again, some of the games I'm really looking forward to this weekend. Murray State, Florida State. We talked about Wofford, Kentucky. Going to be great. Purdue, Villanova. And Minnesota against Michigan State, I'm very interested in as well. You're going to be rooting for Richard Pitino?
I think so.
He's got that. He's got the male pattern baldness going, man.
That whole family.
Yeah.
It's just a bunch of just people.
Well, then why are you rooting for him?
Because I want to see Michigan State lose, just to see Tom Izzo's face. Something's going to happen.
You just didn't make any very much sense there. You're out on Pitino, but you want to see Tom Izzo lose because you want to see his face. Jeez. All right. Well, we are presented by Parks Casino, Pennsylvania's number one casino, and Greenwood Racing. And their sports books at Parks Casino in Bensalem. We're going to be there next week. The South Philadelphia Race and Sportsbook on Packer Avenue right by the stadiums. And where we are today, the Valley Forge Race and Sportsbook right off Route 422 in Oaks, PA. Three locations for sports betting in Pennsylvania. You can cash your winning tickets at any of the three locations. Get your cash in hand immediately. Parks Casino. .com.
All right. So that's it. We will be back. Another edition of Derail next week. We'll be at Parks Casino.
Bensalem.
Correct.
Yeah.
So make sure you follow along at Harry Mays TV, at Jenny Show. As of now, this is the place to be. Moving forward, you know we're open here in OTA, the Valley Forge Race and Sportsbook. You can come hang out as many people are right now. You can hear them in the background eating, drinking, having a great time, putting money down on these kiosks. And one more time, it doesn't matter where you place the bet. Your ticket is good at any of the locations, South Philadelphia, Bensalem, or where we are here in Oaks, PA. For Harry Mays, at Harry Mays to you, Eitan Shander, at Shander Show. We will be back with another tournament edition of Derailed this coming week. See ya.